भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, Text 10 and 11. Chapter entitled, The Payavrata Process of Worship. Api sarve kusalinas Tava putra manasvini Lakshayes Swastam Atmanam Bhavatya Lakshanairaham Api Sarve Kusalinas Tava Putra Manasvini Lakshaye Swastam Atmanam Bhavatya Lakshanairaham Api Sarve Kusalinas Tava Putra Manasvini Lakshaye Swastam Atmanam Bhavatya Lakshanairaham Atajis, please. Api, weather, sarve, all, kusalina, in full auspiciousness, tava, your, putra, sons, manasvini, O great-minded lady, lakshaye, I see, asvastam, not in tranquility. Atmanam, the mind. Bhavatya, of you. Lakshanai, by symptoms. Aham, I. Translation. O great-minded lady, are all your sons faring well? Seeing your withered face, I can perceive that your mind is not tranquil. How is this so? This is text 11. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Aditi said, O my respected Brahmana husband, all is well with the Brahmanas, the cows, religion, and the welfare of other people. O master of the house, the three principles of Dharma, Artha, and Kama flourish in household life, which is consequently full of good fortune. Purport. In household life, one can develop the three principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. According to the regulations given in the Shastras, but to attain liberation, one must give up household life and place himself in the transcendental renounced order. Kasyapa Muni was not in the renounced order of life. Therefore, he is addressed here once as Brahman, another time as Grihamedin. Aditi's wife assured him that as far as household life was concerned, everything was going nicely and the Brahmanas and cows were being honored and protected. In other words, there were no disturbances. Household life was duly progressing. Om Ajnanatimrandasya Gananjana Asalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Adestarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So this chapter is called Payavrata. Payavrata literally means the milk vow, taking only milk, and Kashyapa is teaching her how to worship Vishnu. So we can see, even in higher planetary systems, because this is happening not in the earth planet, in the heavenly planets, they are feeling stress. You can imagine like the health of Aditi is like, you know, there's no question of ill health in the heavenly planets. The health is fine. But then the mind is suffering, this emotional suffering. The mother of the devas, the demigods, are suffering because the children are suffering. Her sons, demigods, are suffering. So it's natural. But the good thing is, like Krishna explains in the Gita, that Chaturvida Bhajante Mam Jana Sukriti Arjuna. Krishna says there's four kinds of people that would approach him. The distressed, the one who's seeking wealth. What is the other two? Inquisitive. Huh? One in knowledge. So we can see here she is actually distressed. But still it's a good thing. Like Bhagavatam says, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajetam Purusham Param. Somehow or other come to Krishna, that's the point. Whether we're full of material desires or free from material desires, or we want liberation, somehow or other come to Krishna, that's then, you know, we are successful, we are blessed. But the point is, you know, Kashyapa is actually engaging her in Krishna conscious activities. Krishna conscious, like he's trying to increase her bhakti. Like in the corporate world, they have this saying that, you know, never waste a good crisis. You know, the businessman, Prabhupada explains, a good businessman, he makes profit whether, you know, the economy is going up or down. Similarly, a devotee, he makes progress whether the things are going good or bad. But it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's actually very foolish to approach Krishna, to worship Krishna for material desires. I mean, it's better than, you know, not approaching Krishna or being atheist. But still, if we approach Krishna with material desires, it's going to take a long time for us to see the results. Like Prabhupada gave that example of cooking with a smoke. I mean, if you're cooking with the wet wood, that's the indication, like if there'll be a lot of smoke. And whenever there is smoke, that's the indication there is some fire. But if we try to cook with smoke, it's just, you know, not very efficient way. Similarly, if we approach Krishna with material desires, we may be around for a long time. So therefore, Acharyas and Srimad Bhagavatam explains, it's better to approach Krishna with pure heart. And in this purport, Prabhupada is explaining how, let me read it. In household life, one can develop the three principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, according to the regulations given in the Shastras. But to attain liberation, one must give up household life and place himself in the transcendental renounced order. So it's explained in our teachings that generally there's so much going on in the grihastha ashram that we can't really focus on moksha. We can really focus on like afterlife, going back to Krishna, because there's so many things happening, so many you can see in this pastime. Therefore, like it's explained, when we are 50 years old in the Varnashram Dharma, it's like yellow light. You know, when you see a yellow light, of course in LA everybody speeds up when they see a yellow light, but when you see a yellow light, you're supposed to slow down and stop. Similarly, the Varnashram system is when we are 50 years old in the Grihastha Ashram, then we slow down and wind down all the materialistic affairs and start completely focusing on Krishna, nothing else. Vanaprastha stage. And then of course sannyas from 75 to 100, you're completely Krishna conscious. It's explained people go to Muktinath and places like that. I mean, if you go there, most probably you won't make it back. Things are austere conditions, you know. So this is the Krishna conscious system. But here, as Prabhupada explains, generally, householders, there's so many things going on, it's hard to focus on Krishna, direct Krishna consciousness. The example is given of King Chitraketu. Chitraketu was an amazing king, and you know, he had everything a person could imagine. I mean, one of the things was he had like 10 million wives, and he had so many daughters. But something was lacking. He didn't have a son. So for a king not to have a son is a curse. So he was in so much anxiety, and Angira Rishi, he was passing through, and as a great saint, he wanted to give Chitraketu, like, you know, information about Krishna and the spiritual world and bhakti. But Angira can see that Chitraketu's heart is somewhere else, his mind is somewhere else. So Angira asked him, like, what can I do for you? And then Chitraketu asked him, oh, I would like a son, you know. And Angira can see the past, present and future. So Angira warned him, are you sure you want a son? Because he is going to cause a lot of suffering for you. Chitraketu said, you know, every son is a cause of happiness and suffering, so what? You know, please, as long as I will have a son, I don't mind suffering. So Angira blessed him and told him, when you have a son, you name him Harsha Soka. Harsha means happiness and Soka means suffering or distress. So then Chitraketu had a son. How he celebrated this occasion, it was unbelievable, you know. I mean, the whole kingdom was celebrating. But what happened, nature of this material world is envy, you know. As soon as you have something, then you have to deal with this envy. Everybody else becomes envious of you. And all these 10 million queens that didn't have a son, they all conspired against this one queen that had a son and poisoned the child and killed the child. And amazingly enough, they were all crying along with the queen that actually lost the child, as if like nothing happened. Then Angira was passing through again, and then, you know, we can imagine the situation of Chitraketu. One thing is like to not to have a son, but another thing is just you had a son and you just lost him. So he was in very sad situation. But Angira Rishi can see, oh, this is actually a blessing. Now he's ready to hear about Krishna. Now his heart is open. Now he will listen to me. Then he brought this child back from the dead, and the child actually preached to him. You know, why are you crying? You know, I had so many parents in the past. I will have so many in the future. Why are you saying I'm your son? And you know, this beautiful teachings, this dead child who came back to life is imparting to Chitraketu. And then Chitraketu, you know, in that sad situation, he hears this wisdom, went straight to his heart, and then became self-realized. And this pastime of Gopinath Patanayak is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's mentioned how Bhavananda Rai was a very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, and he was actually Maharaj Pandu in the Mahabharata. And Bhavananda Rai had 5 sons, like Ramananda Rai, Vaninath Rai, Gopinath Patanayak, like this. All of them were the Pandavas. And we can see the material world is so complicated that even though they were so great, they were like eternal associates of the Lord, Gopinath Patanayak, you know, being a householder, he had like large family. Lord Chaitanya explains, you have a large family. With a large family and being a householder, he was in charge of the treasury, and he was actually like mishandling the funds. So one time it so happened that Gopinath Patanayak, he actually owned the king like 200,000 coins. And the king was upset, you know, it's a big amount, and when are you going to pay back? So is the son, the eldest son of the king, the Bhadajana they call him, he said, my dad, if you give me permission, I'll get the money from, you know, Gopinath. I know how to do it. So he went to Gopinath Patanayak, the prince, and said, you know, give my money back. Gopinath said, I don't have money, but I have this nice, fine horses. You can take these horses, and then, you know, that'll make up for the money I owe the treasury. So Gopinath Patanayak brought all these nice horses. But then the prince, being so greedy, he didn't actually give like proper value for these horses. So he was trying to give very less, so Gopinath Patanayak became very upset. And the prince had this habit, he had this thing with the neck, he would look in the sky and he would keep fixing his neck all the time. What Prabhupada calls it idiosyncrasy. And Gopinath Patanayak, being so upset, he said to the prince, you know, why you give so less price for my horses? They don't look in the sky and twist their neck all the time. Give proper value like this. And the prince got so offended. He says, "Oh, you talk to me like that? See what I'll do to you." So he ordered that Gopinath Patanayak be put on the changa. Changa is like a big hole, and there's like raised swords. And then you pushed on the swords, and then the swords pierce your body, and then you die like that. That's like capital punishment. And he was actually put on the changa. Not only him, the prince ordered that everybody like Bhavananda Roy and all his brothers of Gopinath Patanayak were arrested and brought to that scene. And then this news they brought to Lord Chaitanya, saying, "You know what happened? Your pure devotees are in trouble." And Lord Chaitanya was externally very upset. He's like, why are you guys bothering me? You know, I'm a sannyasi. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was in deep ecstasy in separation from Krishna. And then when they were bringing news like this, that, you know, Gopinath Patanayak is on the changa, you have to do something. Lord Chaitanya said, "What do you want me to do? You want me to go and beg? If I go and beg, people maybe give me like 5 coins or 10 coins. Where do I go for 200,000? And then Mahaprabhu was so upset. "Why is this Gopinath Patanayak wasting all this money of the treasury watching dancing girls? This is so inappropriate." So he was very upset. And then devotees kept coming and coming. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Kasi Mishra, everybody coming, begging to Lord Chaitanya. They're about to push him on the swords. "Can you do something? Can you do something?" Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm not going there. If you so desire, you all pray to Lord Jagannath and he will do something about this." And as soon as the Mahaprabhu said like this, asked devotees to pray, somebody went to the king and said, "You know, this is what your son is trying to do to this devotee family, you know." And the king immediately released all of them, saying, he was chastising his son, saying, "What's the use? I didn't ask you to like put him on the changa, because if he gets killed, we won't get the money back, and then we get all this curse for killing this devotee family." So he released him. He released him, and then when this was actually King Prataparudra, and Kasi Mishra, whose house Lord Chaitanya was staying, he came across Prataparudra, and Kasi Mishra was saying to Prataparudra, "You know what happened? Lord Chaitanya is leaving. He's leaving. He doesn't want to stay here anymore." And we all know King Prataparudra being so attached to Lord Chaitanya, was wondering, "Why is he leaving? Why is he leaving?" And Kasi Mishra said, "It's all because of you and your son. You unnecessarily created such a disturbance to Lord Chaitanya, and he wanted to peacefully chant and, you know, do his thing, but then we disturbed him with his mundane affairs." And King Prataparudra was so upset, so sad that, you know, this happened. So King Prataparudra actually approached Gopinath Patanayak and gave him a silk turban and told him, "You don't owe me any more money. And not only that, I'm going to increase your salary. I'm going to make it double. And again, I make you in charge of the treasury of this place. So you can do whatever you want. No questions ever asked. But please report this to Lord Chaitanya." And all of them showed up, the whole family. Vaninath Patanayak, Vaninath Rai, Gopinath Patanayak, Bhavananda Rai. And, you know, his father. They all came, and Gopinath Patanayak was actually speaking to Lord Chaitanya with this silk turban. He said, "My Lord, just by remembering you while I was in the changa, I was about to be pushed on the changa, I was actually remembering you." And we all know this famous verse, even the most difficult thing becomes easy if we remember Lord Chaitanya. And the most easy things become difficult if we don't remember Lord Chaitanya. So Gopinath Patanayak was remembering Lord Chaitanya in these last moments of his life. And not only was he freed, he was given a silk turban. And he was given a salary raise and, you know, all these things. And Lord Chaitanya was happy to see this family, you know, safe. But then Gopinath Patanayak prayed to Lord Chaitanya saying, you know, it's wonderful just by remembering you, I got all these benefits, but I want to be like my brothers. I want to be like my brothers, free of any material desires. You gave me all these blessings, but please give me pure devotional service. That's all I care for. I don't want any of this salary raise and, you know, all this opulence and silk turban and like that. Just give me pure devotional service. So you could see, you know, in the material world, even the associates of Lord Chaitanya just trying to, you know, manage family and lead a life, you know, they got in trouble. It's not very easy. It's like when Raghunath Das Goswami actually escaped from his home and he went to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He said, Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Das Goswami, don't mind me speaking like this. In village terms, your father and uncle are like my uncle. So I can say like this, don't mind. He said, Lord Chaitanya said, your father and your uncle, they're like two worms in a stool. They're so attached to this stool-like material existence. And if we remove a worm from the stool by its free will, it's just going to crawl back into it. So he said, only by Krishna's mercy, Raghunath, you were able to get out of this stool-like opulence. Otherwise, it was not possible. I mean, we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine how opulent was Raghunath Das Goswami. To give everything up and to do what he was doing was unbelievable. So this is a beautiful process. Even though in Krishna consciousness, like whatever ashram we may be in, Grihastha, Brahmachari, Anaprastha, Sannyas, if we actually apply this process, we all have experience that then there is natural detachment will come. We can actually become detached from this material existence. Doesn't matter which ashram we are in. Some ashram may be more difficult than the other, but it's totally possible. Like it says, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayadahaitukum. By serving Vasudeva, by serving Krishna, naturally we get knowledge and detachment is the byproduct of serving Krishna. And there are so many householders in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. They were so detached, especially Vasudev Dutt. Vasudev Dutt, he was so giving, he wouldn't keep anything for himself. So much so, Lord Chaitanya would ask Sivananda Sen, like, you please take care of this managing the funds of Vasudev Dutt. Because I'm a sannyasi, like, you know, I have more than him. He's householder, he doesn't keep anything for himself, he keeps giving. We all know the famous prayer of Vasudev Dutt. He was praying, you know, let me take all the karma of all the living entities and go to hell forever and let them, you know, be liberated. That was his mood. We can imagine how charitable, how broad-minded of a grihastha he was. So much so, Lord Chaitanya was personally concerned to make sure he has something for his wife and kids. So it's totally possible to become detached from this world if we actually follow this process Prabhupada has given us. Especially chanting these 16 rounds. That's actually the most important activity in a devotee's day, in a devotee's life. And if we did this, then we can actually help, just like we see in this pastime. Aditi was in crisis and Kashyapa Muni used this situation to bring her closer to Krishna. Similarly, the whole world is in crisis. The whole world is suffering. I mean, all of us know. So we just have to be available. And we just have to be visible. We just have to be outside more, that people could approach us, people can see us. And we have to be qualified to help. If we are weak ourselves, if we are not following ourselves, then it'll be very difficult to give somebody else this Krishna consciousness. That's why it's explained, a brahmana. A brahmana will never become obligated to anyone else, because as soon as you become obliged, as soon as you take favors, then you can't preach to that person. They won't take you seriously. So if we live a life of what Prabhupada has given, the standards, then we become red hot like fire. And then we stay in the fire of Krishna consciousness. We become red hot like fire, and then whoever comes across us will also be influenced. So many people, yesterday Kumari Gopi Mataji introduced me to this one young man. He's studying music in Hollywood. You know, it's just somebody, he was homeless at the time, and he was just walking in Hollywood, and somebody gave him a Gita. And he didn't have much going, so he read the Gita 4 times. And he read the first canto of this, the first, 7 chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And yesterday he showed up, and then we were having lunch together, so I asked him, immediately he says, "So where do I start? How do I become a devotee? I want to become a devotee." Even it made me speechless. I didn't expect somebody to be like so ready and, like, where do I go from here like this, Because usually we have to preach to them and be like, beating around the bushes before you tell them, like, Krishna is God and you got to chant His names. And this boy is like so ready, I didn't expect. So it's so ecstatic just to, go out. Or in any service we are doing, we can always have this consciousness and we can always be praying, how can I, Krishna, please use me as an instrument of your compassion. So somebody will come across this path and I can be an instrument in letting them know about Krishna. And this is such an ecstasy, and it's a very high level of Krishna consciousness. Yesterday there was one girl in the bhakti house. She's from Africa, and I don't know how she knows about this. She was asking, like, when will I get to know my spiritual identity? Whether I'm a cowherd girl or bumblebee or, I was like, where are you hearing this from, So I was explaining to her, you want to know something higher than that? She's like, is there anything higher than that? I said, yes. Is to tell others about Krishna. And she's like, no, that doesn't make any sense. I said, it does. That's what Krishna's, that's the conclusion of her teachings. Because as soon as we are Krishna conscious or aspiring to become Krishna conscious, we're okay. We don't have to worry about ourselves so much. Like, we're chanting 16 rounds following the regulative principles, we're taken care of. But now that assurance is there from Krishna and Prabhupada and our spiritual master. Now what do? Instead of being selfish, we have to reach out to others and make time for others. It's actually very easy to become selfish and self-centered and fill our days with so many activities. It becomes very easy, especially as you're growing older in Krishna consciousness. We have to constantly make sure we make some time to reach out to others. It's part of our sadhana, it's part of our parampara, that's the mood of our parampara. Like Prabhupada, whoever he came across, he would always give some prasadam and tell them to chant Hare Krishna. Isn't it? It's like one devotee was remembering, there was some respectable people came to see Prabhupada, and he had a jar of laddus. I think this time it was laddus. And Prabhupada asked him to distribute. So when he opened, there were some ants. So American standard, when you see ants or fly or something like that, you know, you don't touch it. So this devotee was reporting to Prabhupada, there's ants eating the laddus, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, they don't eat so much. Distribute. So he's giving like laddus to this gentleman. And anyone would come across Prabhupada. He was so focused and he was so powerful that he wouldn't be influenced by them. Nowadays we want to be like so cool and we want to relate to this one and that one, and then in the process we become weak. But Prabhupada was not like that. He was so focused. Even one time one great mystic yogi came and was performing all kinds of, you know, gymnastics. And Prabhupada was like yawning, like bored, like when this guy is going to finish. And then at the end, Prabhupada requested him to become a life member. So, why don't you give such and such rupees and you can take all these books home? You know? So this was his mood, he always focused. And he was giving to everybody. Even one time his god brothers were actually criticizing Prabhupada. So what has he done? He made some hippies into Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada thought it was a great compliment. Oh, they're saying like this? That's very good. Because to make hippies into Krishna consciousness, they may think it's a cheap thing, but it's not. He's explained one time, Prabhupada, in the beginning days, the people, the boys, they didn't really have an ashram. They would stay in that matchless gift storefront. And then they would go to Prabhupada's room behind in the apartments and take shower there. And they would even use Prabhupada's towel. Can you imagine, like, no, none of us like to share the towel with another hippie. This is like so tolerant, how tolerant you have to be to bring somebody to Krishna consciousness. So this is the process. Somehow or other, we have to increase our Krishna consciousness and be available that when people come, we take advantage of their situation to give them Krishna consciousness. Any questions or comments? Especially marathon is approaching very fast. We have only like 3 weeks to go. World Enlightenment Day, Marathon, Gita, Jayanti. If we pray, all we can do is just pray to Krishna and Krishna will allow us to distribute like large number of books. Yes, Prabhu?
Just one kind of minor point. In the early part, first of all, thank you very much for so many wonderful realizations and so many well-told stories which have great points for us to remember for the improvement of our own devotional service. So thanks for that. Just a little point that you had made in the early part in which you spoke of King Chitraketu and his wife obtaining a son, and then his other wives killed the son. So there was more to than just their envy of the fact that the other wife had given him a son. One of the biggest problems is that he was showing no attention, he was showing no affection, no concern for the other wives. It's as if they had become insignificant, worthless, and good for nothing. So they were actually outraged by the way he was treating them. So consequently, in reprisal, what they did is they poisoned the child. First of all, of course, they didn't like the idea that that wife should get so much affection and attention and they should get nothing. So that envy idea, yes, is there. But I just wanted to expand on it, that's all.
Jai. Thank you. Anything else? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.